Well, hello, everybody. I'm Rick Dancer. Welcome to Get Real with Rick Dancer. I got to tell you right off the bat, I was going to put that in here. In fact, I'm going to. So just hang on just a second. You guys are just going to have to wait it out here just a little bit. Betsy Johnson, I'll get her in a little bit. We talked to her today early. She's going to be on tomorrow night's show. And she just throws it out of the park. I mean, we're asking her, talking to her about what she did right, what she did wrong when she ran. Oregon, what she sees, all that kind of stuff. And it was just absolutely fascinating. In fact, you know what I should do, Tim? My friend Tim's here. I'm going to do something else while we're here. You know what we do? Everything is live, right? So you guys know that we are, we can do anything we want. And so we're going to do Instagram at the same time. And I'm going to put it in 4K because it makes us look really good. And so I'm going to hit that. So we're going to be live on Instagram if you want to go to the page. And hello, guys. How are you? That's Tim. You were kind of the behind the scenes kind of people. This is our show tonight. And our sponsors are, and you're not going to see this, but you're going to hear it over here. You guys will hear it. Chris Dettle, Family Dentistry and Denture Center. Dr. Bratlin is one of our biggest sponsors, and he loves the fact that we're talking about everything. Freedom of speech is still alive and well here at Rick Dancer's Land. So welcome, all of you. Hi, Tabitha. It's good to have you on here. So Tim is in the background because he's in Montana. He just got here.
I'll bring myself
here. Yeah, you can come in here. So Tim's here. He just got here like maybe a half hour ago. We've been chatting. That's why I'm a little teeny bit late.
Sure did.
Other sponsors. Albert Taylor, Endless Possibilities. We love them. They work with people with different abilities, providing services for them. If you're looking for work, you want a career that means something, that's the people you can go to. And right here in Helena, Montana Oral Surgery Center and also Dental Implant Center. The doctors over there, awesome. We're going to be interviewing them on Monday to find out more about what they do. But if you're looking for it, not everybody's running around looking for oral surgery.
Hope you're not.
It's like the last thing I want. But if your dentist did tell you that you needed to have something done, they also do like facial implant stuff. They do reconstructive surgeries and stuff like that, wisdom teeth, all that kind of stuff. So you never know. I need more product, Tim.
Oh, hit me up, Tab.
Okay, Tabitha needs that. That's Compton Wines.
Yes.
I'm sure they're doing well this time.
Stop by their winery. It's amazing stuff.
Oh, man. And you can see all the farm animals. They have a full meal deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then hold on. I'm going to pull these little babies out of here. So Tim has been coming up with some questions.
Yes.
Again, tomorrow night we have Betsy Johnson, former state senator and candidate for governor. We've been waiting. She said it took her 8 months to calm down enough to do this because she goes, I don't want to sound stupid and angry. But she is not stupid and she is angry, but not about losing, but just about Oregon politics. So anyway, can you guys hear it? So Tim, just
Can you guys hear me?
Just make sure you can hear both of us because sometimes it does it.
Yeah, give us a thumbs up or something.
Yeah, let us know. So Tim works with me. We met how many years ago?
Okay, it's 4 years ago, probably.
And under my arms, I wear Tim every day. He makes a product, that deodorant, that I would put my arm up, but that'd be really gross. But I don't stink.
We've done it before.
I know we have. He's put it on me before. I know. It's a little weird, but it sure got a lot of attention. But I use his deodorant every day, and he's working on a clay for me because my dream is to have my own hair.
Yes, we're going to do
that. Hair products, because that's all everybody on TikTok. If I do a live on TikTok, that's all they talk about. They said I can hear you.
Perfect.
Trump 2024. We're not on that topic tonight.
Maybe we'll get there.
We might get there. You never know. So Tim and I normally do this. He's back in Oregon, and I'll be here, and then he'll come up with some questions from you guys and then some questions just from him.
Yes.
Just so you guys know, right now on Facebook, they're being assholes, so they're not letting me do live, but this will – I'll put it on tonight. I'll stick it on there so it does still air. And we actually get more views when it's not live, but I do miss some of your live comments. But we're also on YouTube, Instagram, LinkedIn, the website rickdancer.com.
Yes.
Every place you want to go, you can find us. Okay, so what? So you just drove here because your friend, a friend of yours.
Yes, is in a wedding in Elliston. And so it was a perfect example to come see my buddy Rick.
So we have an Airbnb in the basement and the door's not shut. We're not doing that to you. You can come up anytime.
Oh, okay.
So he has his own room and he's going to be here. We're going to go to the gym tomorrow and I'm going to get a haircut, which I'm sure that's really interesting.
Yeah. Can't wait.
And we have work to do, stuff to do. So tonight's show is going to be, and if you guys have questions, you can put them on
here. Yeah, pop them up.
Or here. Personal, and if they're too personal,
I won't answer.
I will, and I'll embarrass you.
Yeah. When's the last time we did this? I feel like
it's been like 2 months or something.
No, it's been like, I think it was like February was the last time.
I like these shows because I never know what you're going to ask.
Well,
he hasn't written on his phone. See, this is Rick. I'm old school. I write everything on a tablet.
Right. And then this is what I do.
This is the modern era. Yes. Are you going to talk about the Jason Aldean tonight?
Oh, let's talk about that.
I totally would talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Maybe we can open that up with this.
Okay. That's what we could open up with. What's the question?
I would guess the question would be something centered around his song and the controversy that it created.
When I first heard the song, I loved it. And that was back in May. I mean, it's been out for months. And then all of a sudden people start making a big deal about it. There's nothing about lynchings in it. There's nothing that's racist in it. If the video, you know, now there's reports that it came from Canada or some other place or something. When you're producing a movie, he wasn't saying these riots happened in small America. He was showing riots and he's talking about small America. As a video producer, I totally get that. If I have good video of a girl flipping off a cop, I don't care where it came from.
Yeah, right.
That's showing you what happened. He's saying that wouldn't happen in small America. The point is made through video, and now people are nitpicking, trying to find a reason. And what I think is it's backfiring.
Well, I think that it is too. And I think my opinion on it is a little bit weird, because if you don't like the song, then don't listen to it.
Well, it's
freedom of speech, right?
Right. And so if you, but to call it out, like what people do, and it just drives me crazy is, you know, because then they go, because I'm not a huge boycotter. I'm kind of becoming one.
Yes.
But it's like, for me, I would do this anyway. When I saw that, I don't drink Bud Light anyway, but when I saw that come out, I would just switch beer and go, okay, that's what I'm doing. Right. I wouldn't make a big production about it. I don't think it's bad that people do. My thing is that I worked in television news for 30 years, and I hate protests. I hate boycotts. All that stuff to me is just people kind of showing off. Just do it.
Right. Well, and you have a right to express yourself and devote your time or your money or whatever to wherever you want it to go.
Right. And so, but when you start getting into creativity, it's kind of like, this reminds me of what they're doing to Aldean. Reminds me of what they try to do to Dave Chappelle.
Right.
It pisses me off because his whole job, I was listening to Jordan Peterson today. You'll hear this on this one.
I will, actually.
Jordan Peterson and this guy were talking about that comedians, what did they call them? It was kind of like, it's almost the balls of your culture.
Sure.
Like they have to push the limit to question the things that nobody else will question.
Right.
So what the cancel culture people do is try to even limit that.
Yeah.
And that's their job.
Because
you know what he said? You'll love this. He says, you know, even what makes the people mad, like when it's an issue that they're really diehards for.
Yes.
He says it's because the first thing they do is they do laugh because
right.
it's real.
Yeah.
And it is true.
Right.
And then they get mad.
Yep.
And he says, but even whether it's about Jews or white people with white hair or, you know, guys from New York,
yes,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Usually what they're doing is something that is very true, but they push it to the nth degree, and that's why it's funny.
Yeah. Did you happen to listen to, it was probably 6 months ago on Joe Rogan, he had Eric Weissman on.
Yep.
And towards the end of the show, as a Jewish man, he was advocating for Joe and comedians to bring these issues into the forefront, because it allows people to be able to laugh about things, but it forwards a conversation with them.
Right.
And he was talking about how important it was to not take things so seriously.
Because to me, when you start censoring people like that, then, you know, then we get into the situation we're in now. I mean,
right.
and Tim runs a lot of my social media, so he sees they throttle the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 month we can be 300,000, the next month 100,000, the next month 400. I mean, you don't know. And they just keep throttling people. And you can't operate a business like that.
No.
And they don't care.
No.
And like, you know, so anyway, so what do I think of Jason Aldean? I think I love the song because I think it really is. There's a whole bunch of things that you would not. I noticed that here in Townsend, Montana.
Right.
I see things that in Eugene, Oregon, I'm thinking, if you tried that, if you went around riding a bicycle outside and had a mask on, somebody would walk up to you and go, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
And you would be okay doing that. In Eugene, you'd be scoffed.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much Alex Jones seems crazy, but he has been nearly 100% correct. On
yeah, something. Right. Maybe not 100%, but he has some weird ideas, and they have proven to kind of be true.
Well, and you know, Jordan Peterson, I love his. You guys, if you have a request to come on, just ask a question, okay? Because it's too hard. Once you get on Instagram and you get somebody on there, it's really hard to do it. So just put up the question. Okay, what's the next question?
Yeah, okay.
If you guys have any more, put them up there.
Yes, yes.
Notice they're only coming from YouTube because it's not on Facebook.
Right, all right. So you and Kathy just celebrated an anniversary, right?
40 years.
What'd you guys do?
We went to Whitefish, Montana, which is like 4 hours away, and stayed in a really cool little bed and breakfast, our Airbnb, and then went mountain climbing, mountain biking. We took our bikes on the back. When you're in Montana and you have a Highlander, you just got mountain bikes in the back. You got paddle boards in the trunk. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of tough in Montana because I got my shit, you know, and you drive around and, you know, but I don't have a fishing rod on top of my car in one of those holders because that in Montana, that's what you do in Bend, Oregon.
You do. Yep.
But you don't do that in Montana because you will be looked at. If you do that, you're probably from Los Angeles.
I would, as a fisherman, I would never do that.
No, my son.
But my car has a tent on top of it, so there's no space.
Well, my son said when we tried to get him one for his birthday or something, he said, Jess, do you want one of those things like that? He goes, no. And I go, what? And we never thought anything about it. So I came out here and asked people, what shouldn't I do when I move to Montana? They said, don't get a fly fishing case and put on top of your car.
No.
So that's what we did.
Okay. So 40 years. What's the key to getting to 40 years?
Lots of fights and conversations and having hard conversations.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the biggest deal is having, I mean, and I think we were just super committed. I mean, you'd love to say that I'm always in love with my wife and she's always in love with me and we just walk around and hold hands throughout the house and stuff like that. And that's not reality. There's times when you're not in love, but you still love them, but you have to work through hard shit. And I mean, there's been, I think, three times in our marriage where we both kind of looked at each other and went, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't want to do this. And then, but by the grace of God, you find something, you hang on, and then you pivot and you move. Greg says communications are big.
Yeah, right.
In any relationship, it is too. I mean, that's what we lost, I think, during COVID, is the ability to have conversations with each other that are hard.
Right.
That's what Peterson was talking about this morning.
Well, I think in society, we're still dealing with that even right now. You can't say something that's controversial without being canceled or muted or rejected. And there's no conversation that gets to actually take place. Right. So in a marriage, right? And I obviously don't have the proof of 40 years, but the fact that you're still sticking around and you're willing to share the same space with somebody for that long is, I would think, a huge token of commitment, right? And you have to get through those conversations, right?
So Tim and May are over here.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, here's Tim. I don't know if they've ever met you before.
We haven't
met. This is Tim who does all my work, all the hard stuff that he does for you.
Hey, Tim.
I'll tell you one thing. This is a really cool story. Kathy and I were in a little bar in Whitefish, and this man was up singing, and he comes to the bar and he stands there. And I said, how old are you? He says, I'm 85. And he was the singer. And I went, you're kidding. He goes, no. He goes, what are you guys doing here? And I said, we're here celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. And he just got kind of sad. He goes, yeah, my wife and I celebrated 47 years. And then she died in 2012.
Gosh.
So he's been alone for, you know,
11 years.
Yeah, 11 years. And then he says, I don't drink very much, but I'm just going to have a drink with you guys. So he kind of sit there and had a drink with us. And he just started talking about all the fun that they had. And he left. And then I looked at my wife and I said, oh my gosh, at some point, one of you, you or me, is going to be him.
Right.
And that was really jarring because, you know, I always hope I go first.
Right.
Selfishly. They should do way better without me than I would do without her. But you just kind of look at it like this is not going to last forever. Somebody dies.
Nothing does.
And unless you both die at the same time.
Right.
You know, that's going to happen. So it was kind of sweet because it was there. And then he got up and he's saying, we start talking about Tony Bennett dying.
Yeah.
And I got to see Tony Bennett sing at the Brit Festival in Medford, Jacksonville, Oregon. And so then he goes up and he played I'm Him and It Really Sucks. Yeah. I'm Sorry, Liz. Yeah. And he went up and played I Left My Heart in San Francisco. It was so fun. And he just, you know, to be really honest, he didn't have the best voice. But then at 85, he could still sing. Yeah. And it wasn't about perfection. It was about this guy.
He's still doing it.
Yeah.
Did he happen to talk about any regrets that he had?
I didn't ask him because when he saw that we were married for 40 years and we were sitting at the counter and having fun.
Yes.
And I think it made him, Kathy and I both went after like, I hope we didn't cause him to like,
right.
He was drinking and it just like made him sad. So yeah, I didn't ask him, like, if it was you or somebody, I'd ask personal questions.
But right.
It was kind of stuff that we just said. So what I did ask him what he missed the most about her.
Okay.
And he said, just having her around.
Around. Yeah.
And that kind of thing. On the lighter side, what is your favorite place to scratch? I know what you're getting at, Leah.
Do you want to answer that question?
It's my beard. Some lady came on Facebook or something and the other day and she says, quit playing with your beard. And I want to say, shut up.
If you don't have a beard, then you don't know.
You don't know. And honestly, if you have an epic beard like this, this is meant to be played with.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? This is why you do it, is so that you can do this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of like facial masturbation.
It kind of is.
It feels right. So
I have to keep mine shorter because I will just play off it constantly.
My wife, like when I drive in the car, I find myself doing this and it's really gross. And she goes, look at what you just did.
Totally.
And I'm going, but tomorrow I'll get it trimmed down a little bit and I'll still play with it. You have to have a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of things I can play with and that's what, at least it's something that's my beard.
Right. And the general public isn't going to get on you for playing with it.
Yeah, you can't get put in jail for playing with your beard.
Okay, so your summer, right? You've been around a bit this summer.
Yeah.
And you've seen some concerts.
What did we see?
Who was the best one?
For me?
Yes.
It was Aaron Lewis.
Was it?
So my wife would say George Strait.
Okay, yeah.
George was good. Chris Stapleton, I like better.
Uh-huh.
The first group, I can't remember their name, but they're popular, but they're not my favorite. They sing that pontoon boat song.
Oh.
Does anybody know who that is?
Little Big Town.
Yeah, Little Big Town.
Yeah.
So they were good.
Yes.
And everybody was good, but I like Chris Stapleton the best at that concert. Those were all three together. But Aaron Lewis was just more, like, more raw.
Yeah.
I mean, he sat up there and smoked a cigarette the entire time, which you're not supposed to smoke but he's in Idaho Falls, so he can do whatever the hell he wants. And he had bourbon, and I don't know how much he drank, and he was just charming, interesting, sometimes, I can't think of another word for it, but a vulgar.
Yeah.
But he pushed everybody. He was just like, you know, and he really loves this country, and I love his group before.
Did he play any Stained songs?
Yeah.
Because he has the rights to them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. He played all the popular ones. Wow. And of course, the audience went nuts.
Yeah.
Like over the top nuts when he started playing those.
Yeah.
But it was super fun because it was like, it's in Idaho Falls, and I'm not trying to judge, but it was redneck. I mean, it was very redneck. I have not seen that many mullets since the 90s.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody had a mullet, and then they'd just be like, yeah. You know, they're not, let's just say that they're not big Joe Biden fans. So they do the F Joe Biden as a chant and screaming. And it was just hilarious because you're going, where am I? it was like there was no class whatsoever. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. So it was pretty fun.
Okay. Ready for the next one? So this one's a little bit of a softball. What's the best thing about living in Montana?
I feel like in Montana, I feel like I can say what I need to say. I think it's made, how it's made my life harder is because here I'm so free to say what I want to say, and yet my voice is going back to more people in Oregon.
Right.
And people there are still judging it based on, the what's culturally acceptable there. And here, so much more, there's nothing really non-culturally expressive here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can say whatever you want. And I have Democrat friends and Republican friends like I used to in Eugene years and years ago, where nobody's trying to go, well, you know, of course you didn't vote for Trump.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that kind of stuff. It's like, well, you don't know who I voted for, and you're just, you're putting down, you know, well, everybody knows it's a woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff, where it's like, no, here, people just keep it to themselves, or you go out and you talk about it, but it's not like, here's the popular opinion.
Yes.
And then despite what people think back there, everybody in Montana is not conservative, like a conservative right-wing person.
No.
And most people here are really moderate that I've found.
Yeah.
And
on either side of that middle.
Yeah, I don't mean as many. I mean, there's more Republicans than Democrats here.
Sure, yes.
I mean, by far.
Yes.
But you're seeing, but nobody puts other people down for it. They don't go, oh, yeah, those are the Democrats. I mean, you see it in the party stuff, but those party people are like that anyway.
Right.
I mean, that's what I hate about parties. It's like, you know, oh, Betsy and I tomorrow have this great conversation about the closed primary in Oregon. It's a really, I threw out a couple F-bombs, and so did she. I mean, it's like, it's crazy.
And that's okay.
Hi, Laura in Chicago. How are you?
Hi, Laura.
So Montana is, I think it's just, it's vast. It's huge. It's big.
It is.
You don't, if I go on a hike in a place, not Whitefish, but if I go on a hike in normal Montana, you will run into no one but ATVers or a few people. You're really alone.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous and it's adventurous and it feels scary sometimes, you know. I mean, I take a gun and bear spray when I go on a walk. And we just had a woman who was eaten by a bear at Yellowstone National Park two days ago. She went on a run and she was 47.
Wow.
And she went out and obviously didn't have bear spray or a gun, and she was eaten by a bear. So, I mean, it's real. And last year we had a guy, family, had four kids, and he was out shedding, looking for horns, set his bag down that had his bear spray in it, walked down a hill to get a shed, and they found his foot.
So is that the worst thing about living in Montana then?
No, I know this is kind of weird, but I think it's kind of exciting. Seriously, I go home now. I remember I used to be afraid of cougars. I mean, that's what I think in Oregon. Yes. You don't have grizzly bears.
No.
But you'd think cougars, and now it's like, that wouldn't even scare me.
Yeah.
Because a grizzly bear is mean.
Yeah.
But we've never seen one, and we know all the things to do. And I guess, you know what I think it is? It's like living more on the edge, where you just go, okay, Lewis and Clark didn't have, like, you know, bear spray.
No.
You know?
I mean, they did have a lot of rifles.
Yeah. But this is like, so it gets you as close as you can get, I think, to that rugged, you know, kind of thing where it makes you feel like
the frontier,
like you're, like you're tougher than you really are.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like everybody else goes, I hope you take bear spray with you. Kathy and I take bear spray everywhere we go.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to get eaten, because a lot of bears don't care.
Well, yeah.
But
and
it's something.
You don't know, because you can startle them.
Yeah.
From too short of a distance to be able to react. I've almost done that bear hunting myself.
Well, when we run, like we will just,
You just make noise. Yeah. Right.
One time we went running and we were going, bears.
Yep.
We taste terrible bears.
Yeah.
She and Kathy sing a little song. And, and you just, that's just what you do. And it's like, nobody would laugh at you.
Right.
And I think the other thing that I really love about Montana is that everybody else is here for similar reasons. They're escaping something. They're getting away from something. They don't want to, except for Bozeman and some places like that. But a lot of people here want to get away from the world.
Yes.
And so you have that in common where people are going, yeah, we're going to go out and, you know, archery shoot carp.
Yeah. I'm like, right.
What the hell is archery shooting carp? And they do that, but everybody has their thing and they, you know, they just kind of get along and do it.
So right. That's what's fun. Right. So what would you say the worst thing is? The winter?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Phil, I think it's Phil. Winters in Montana, they are hard. This was an especially hard one too, because we've been here the year before at winter and it wasn't quite as bad, but it was, I mean, minus 55. That's really freaking cold. And then a wind on top of that was the wind chill, but the wind blowing, some of the video I posted last year, oh my God. And so that was that, you know, so what we learned is we're going to take vacations, time off January, Kathy's birthday, and then we'll do something maybe in March. So you're getting out, because I can do November, December with, you know, snow and that, but most of it hits in that in January, February. So it'd be a way to get out. And that's what everybody here says. You got to go to Arizona, go somewhere warm, and then you can come back and go, oh, okay, yeah, I can deal with this.
Right, right.
But this time of year, like it's 93.
Yes.
Hot.
Super dry.
And it gets really warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm watering the berries a lot. Oh, but we were up on the mountain. Would either of you do the show Naked and Afraid? Oh, God, yeah.
That's a good question.
Would it be, do the show Naked and Afraid? Oh, you mean, that's a show.
Like go on the show Naked and trying to survive.
I would never.
I don't think that I would do it naked, but I would do alone.
The alone part.
I would do have you seen Alone? The show Alone?
Yeah, I know what that is.
Yeah, so I would do Alone. I don't think I would do Naked Afraid because it's just a TV thing.
Right. Plus, I don't know the dynamic of.
I don't need to prove my survival skills without any clothes on.
Is my penis going to help save me?
Yeah, right.
I'm going off a cliff and I.
I might need that.
I want to keep that thing around, I still use that. Oh, I hunt Montana elk in the fall and wintertime. Love Montana, trying to get my wife to move.
Where are you from, Tactical?
Yeah, my advice now after being here is look around for a while. If Kathy and I could do it again, we were in a weird situation because housing prices were going up and we were going, God, we got to lock into something.
Yeah.
If I could do it right now, I would wait, just tool around, look at places.
Florida, really? Wow.
Well, that's a change.
Yeah.
But you know what you do is you get a place here that's small and then you, get a place down there or just go down and rent for a month. You know what I mean? To get yourself out and do your kind of thing.
And I also, you could put it up tactical, but the non-resident hunting fees are pretty expensive in Montana.
The non-residents. Oh, you know, one of the best things about Montana that is really cool. So when you get your driver's license, you have an option. You can pay like $9 or something. And then you never have to pay to get into a park.
Really?
Never. Uh-uh. It's on your license.
Wow.
It's on your license. So you can go to, not the national parks.
Yeah, right.
But to any state park.
Wow.
You're not getting nickel and dime like Oregon every time you go, oh, here's another $5.
Yeah.
And I don't carry cash.
Right.
So, and they don't have a machine. So it's like that's included in your driver's license.
Wow.
So you feel like you own it and you're part of it, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other cool thing I learned as an older person is that I can pay $100, I think it is, or something, 60, 70, I don't remember, but it's cheap, under $100, and a one-time pass that I can get in any national park in the country.
For a year or forever?
Forever.
Wow, is that an AARP thing?
It has nothing to do with that communist organization. I think it's a national park thing where you can.
Oh.
It's just anybody can do that. You have to be 62 or older.
Okay.
And you can get, because we love going to, my wife likes going to national parks. I'm not that big on it because what do I not like? I don't like crowds.
Yeah.
And I don't like Yellowstone because it's beautiful. But every time you turn around a corner,
somebody
sees a squirrel. Yeah. And all the cars, you got 20 cars taking pictures of a chipmunk. It's a freaking chipmunk.
Yep.
You can see those in the woods. Go on a hike. Don't go running around.
Make sure you got your bear spray, though.
Oh, but then all the bears there are like trained. Laura, so when are you coming? As a senior, you get a lifetime. Yeah. National Park.
Okay, there you go.
We got the first year when they were free.
Wow.
That was, wow. And thank you for telling me about that.
Yeah.
Because that was really helpful. Okay, what else?
Okay, okay. Let's get into some other stuff right now.
Because I know how echoey it is.
How do you feel about Robert F. Kennedy?
Oh, I like him. I really do.
Why?
I don't, because they don't like him. I don't. Okay, I'll give you a couple things. So I have a poster. I'm going to bring it in my office. I have a poster at home in my storage that is of Robert F. Kennedy when he was running in 1968.
His dad.
His father.
Yes.
I was a huge fan as a 10-year-old kid. I guess I had a man crush on Bobby Kennedy. I just thought he was a cool guy.
Yeah.
My parents loved him, and I just listened to him talk, and I don't remember what it was, but I do remember a style.
Yeah.
And when I hear RFK speak, not the stroke voice,
yes,
but his mindset.
You know how he got that?
He had a stroke, didn't he?
No.
What?
I heard he got it from a flu vaccine.
I don't know. I don't know. We'd have to look it up. Somebody can look it up.
It's a...
You can pay extra for a special.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, too.
Get into the state park for free. And they also have hundreds of license plates. So when you get a license plate in Montana, you can pick the one you want. And that money goes to support the organization that makes the license.
Yes.
So they're very competitive. So there's hundreds of them because people want you to get theirs, the cool one.
Yes.
And then the next year is half. So mine was $80. Next year it's $40, but the $40 goes to farmers in Montana because I picked farming because that's my community.
Yep.
But RFK, I don't agree with his position on climate.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be enough to keep me from not voting for him. I'll tell you, here's the whole thing. I would never vote for Biden, ever, in a million years. He's a clusterfuck. I would not vote for that guy. But if the only person...
vocal dystonia, Cass. I heard he got it from a flu vaccine.
That's what
it is. It's vocal cord dysmorphia.
Dystonia?
Yeah, I read it was dysmorphia.
What was I saying? Kennedy.
Yeah.
He is, of all the candidates, he's the only one I'm excited about. And I don't think he's going to win, but I love that he's bringing the conversation. He stood in front of Congress the other day and said, we have to stop censoring people, Democrats.
But see what happened to him. The Democratic Party is already throwing him under the bus.
Right, they're throttling him. And then I hear people coming on it. If I say anything nice about him, I get all the super, what I call... They call themselves progressives. I call them a regressive. And they come on my page and they're like, oh, he thinks the vaccine causes autism. Well, guess what? Let's go read his book. And I have personal stories of relatives that I know who had reactions to an autism after getting their vaccines. And they weren't like that before. So if you have a different opinion, I welcome that. But I have firsthand experience watching that happen. So when he says that, I listen because we didn't get those shots for those kids anymore.
Yeah.
Imagine. Can anyone out there even imagine that a vaccine would hurt you? Do you read? You know? I mean, after what we've been through with the pandemic, I will never do any of that again. I'm not putting anything in my body that I personally don't have enough research for to understand what it is, ever. I would never.
Well, and I think that that's the complicating issue is vaccines by definition, like prevent something.
Right, so this wasn't a vaccine.
And so, right, and so, but they also have to be studied in order to prove that they don't have anything.
Like polio, we don't get polio anymore.
Exactly, that's what it is.
But they vetted it.
Right.
And this, why are we still calling it that when it's not?
Right.
Because it didn't stop it. Everybody still got it. But then those of you who are like, the pro-vaxxy people, then you go, well, fewer people died. You don't know. And we don't know. That's what we don't know. And we're going to, in 20 years, we will.
Probably so.
And it's going to probably be a documentary that we sit in a movie theater and watch dark because our faces are bright red because we fell for it.
Well, yeah. And we'll find out, it's... I don't know. Society is a very complicated thing right now. Here's another sociological type of question. Okay. Do you feel like the Supreme Court is headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I do, but I'm more conservative than other people. So right. I just like, after being a news guy for 30 years and watching decisions, and there was never a moment when I felt like my voice was reflected, to finally see things that I think, I don't agree with all their decisions, but to finally see things being evened out a little bit, I love it. Because it's I think it's turning the country in a different direction, and I like that. I want my rights to be able to decide. I believe in my body, my choice. And I don't think the Supreme Court decision on abortion stops abortion. I think that's a statewide ban. It's a statewide thing. It's state by state. How many states like Oregon, Washington are really going to change it? And if you live in a state where they do, then you can go to a state where they don't. But to me, there should also be, I don't want my money being used for something that I don't agree with. And I should have that right with my tax dollars that I am able to do that. So that's one of the best things I know we've never talked about. One of the best things for me about not living in Oregon is now when the lawmakers come up with some stupid idea to fund, like, let's just say measure 110 or measure 114 or the new thing to build housing for the homeless when it's really not going to the homeless. I don't have to pay for that. I can read about it and feel bad for you guys, but it felt always like, as a guy who doesn't believe in some of that stuff, that my money, I was being forced to pay for stupidity. And it's, I can't even tell you that, I can't put it into words how different it feels. Kathy, there's something you guys had to vote on. And Kathy and I looked at each other and went, oh my God, we don't have to do that. It just felt so good, because it was like, my whole life. And it wasn't my whole life, but it was like the 30 years that I was an adult.
Right.
I always felt like I never had a say.
Yeah.
And I could sit down and say, I don't agree with this, but they were still taking money out of my check and out of my taxes to pay for stuff I didn't like. And now in Montana, I don't have to do that anymore. So
But you would still be beholden to whatever the state politics would be, though, right? You're just, what you're saying is, the politics of Montana align more with your values and ideals.
My favorite story is this lady on the elliptical machine next to me at the gym, and she looks like a Eugene hippie, and she's, you know, she walks up, she gets on the machine, and I'm going, okay, I'm judging just like everybody does. I'm kind of judging her off here. We start moving, and she goes, "What's your name?" And I tell her. She goes, "What are you here? Where'd you come from?" "Oregon." "Why'd you move?" And I just, because if I was in Oregon and I said that, you know, I'd be outcast. And finally I just said, well, actually it was the way they handled the pandemic. She goes, "You think?"
Yeah.
She goes, "How ridiculous was that?" She says, "The masks don't work. The vaccine is a joke. I didn't take it. And I'm a nurse and I'm a Democrat." And
I went, was she a Montanan, Montanan, like native?
And I said, "Yeah." Okay. And I go, and she's a Democrat.
Yes.
Because she used her head and said, no, this doesn't work. It doesn't matter. In Oregon, it's what you have to believe, whatever. And that's, Republicans are just as bad. It's whatever parties, what your party says, that's. And then people, you know, all the time, like, "Oh, Rick, you're some right wing nut job." Well, no, because I happen to be more conservative than you.
Right.
I don't think everybody that has this is on the regressive end of the scale is a nut job. we may just disagree on stuff. There's this lady and I, and if we sat down and started talking about other issues, we'd probably find some disagreement. But she was like a regular person.
But you can hold space for somebody's disagreements.
Yes.
Like, you know, like.
And that, you can't do that in Oregon. And you guys, I don't know if you think you can or anything, but you really, I mean, I experienced that for so long. And that's why I guess Kathy and I both feel kind of free here. Like, just free to be who we, and I'm more liberal, I mean, here. than a lot of people.
Well, right, yeah.
You know,
so
coming from when you ran for Secretary of State, people say, what kind of Republican are you? I'm going, I don't know. Are you a Ronald Reagan Republican? And I go, I didn't know. I was naive. I didn't know so much about politics. I go, I don't know.
Yeah.
They go, well, are you a Mark Hatfield Republican? And I'd done stories on him, so I knew what he was like. And I said, you know what I think I am? And they go, what? I said, I think I'm a Rick Dancer Republican. They go, well, what's that? And I said, just elect me and find out.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's like, I think I would have been really fair.
Yeah.
I think I would have been really fair. But it obviously wasn't meant to be. And I think we need to blow up the party system countrywide. I totally
that would be great.
I totally agree with you because, you know, if you had people are too, you know, when I see a bumper sticker that says, and I don't see many, I vote Republican, because I think that's just not one of their things. But the Democrats always have, I vote Democrat. And I just want to go.
But instead you have American flag.
Yeah. Oh, no. Republicans, what they do, that's so gross. Okay, so let me finish my first story.
Yeah, go for
it. So Democrat, I would just want to go, all that says is I'm narrow-minded and I don't look at candidates. I just vote party.
Right.
So that's what that says to me like that. Now, on the Republican side, so what, after I lost the race, they asked me to come speak at these Republican, to teach them, because I did really well.
Yeah.
So what do we do? So I went to this one meeting. There's all these hundreds of people there. And I got up and all the ladies were there with their flag scarves and flag earrings and flag jewelry and all this. And I got up. The first thing you got to do if you want to be relevant, lose all your flag crap. Nobody, that makes you look like a clown. And we like our flag stuff. It was the funniest thing because it just deflated them. But I'm going, you're putting out the image. You're saying with this that I'm a right-wing nut job.
Yeah.
Whether you are or not, that's right. What it looks like. And I'm not ashamed of the flag. I have some flag shirts too and stuff like that.
Sure.
I'm just saying, if you're trying to have people take you seriously, you have to act the part. And Democrats, you can't go around saying, you know, I vote Democrat only, because then nobody's going to take you
seriously. Don't you think you lose all of your credibility?
Yes. And what about all those independent voters who are just going, I don't like any of you.
Right.
You know, and I just want somebody who's going to stick up for me.
Well, then that's a perfect reason to blow up the party system,
because
it's not representative of the population. We're not evenly split 50-50 in a belief. There's all these spectrums. And so why would you not? But
and
there's such
the
a control.
And what if the real answer is like somewhere mixed in all of it?
Well, is it not?
I think it is. And what the pandemic and the government and people did was they divided us to conquer us. And so now they've got us separated. And as Jordan Peterson and this guy he talked to today said, we got to find ways to remake those conversations. Doesn't mean I have to agree with you, or you have to agree with me, but it means that we got to be able to go, I mean, I don't understand how we think that, I mean, how arrogant is that you think your team is the only one that knows the answer?
You're right.
I mean, it's just total arrogance. And it's like, and I think we have to get away from that. So
absolutely.
All right, you got one more question because we're over and we're gonna go home and drink a beer.
Ooh, yeah. Let's
see.
It's hot. Let's do, what's the most outrageous thing that has happened to you this year?
This year?
Yes. Just bizarre thing.
That's hard. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Here's a good one. This is a good one to end on. What is your favorite meal that Kathy makes?
Oh, my favorite pizza.
Is it?
My wife.
What kind?
Yeah, it's whatever she makes. She makes a homemade pizza crust.
Uh-huh.
And then we put our own cheese that we know is healthier cheese. She makes her own sauce. My wife makes the best sauce because my son's friends used to always come over there and have their pizza. And then we put meat and stuff on it, but it's not, it's all stuff that we buy, like either our cattle. We have a cow in the freezer.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. But yeah, it's pizza. Anything Italian, because I'm really into Italian food, but her pizza is the best and everybody knows that.
Yes.
I'll tell you the most outrageous thing I ever did.
Oh, let's do that then.
The most outrageous thing I ever did was I ran for Secretary of State and I lost. So Kathy planned this trip where we went to all these locations in Oregon that we wanted to go to for 2 weeks. We spent 3 nights in each location. And that time of year, all those places had one night free. So we saved so much money. So we went to all these different locations and stuff. Got down to Gold Beach and we were at the 222E Inn, and it's right on the Rogue River.
Yeah.
And there was nobody there. It was absolutely.
That's the one that's right up on the hill there?
No, it's in inland about 5 miles.
Okay, okay.
It's really cool, like really old school, cool resorty kind of thing. And so we're there and there's like maybe three other couples at the place and the thing. And I was just kind of, you know, it's like we're drinking a little and Kathy, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go run naked on the beach. She goes, what? I said, I'm free. I don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I lost. If anybody sees me running, dangling, it doesn't matter because I didn't win and it's not going to be Secretary of State, you know. So I just stripped down. It was dark, but I stripped down, went out on the beach, on the beach, and ran and screamed as loud as I could. And so here I am flopping around all naked and doing this. And Kathy's sitting at the place just going, oh my God. And nobody saw me, but it was dark. But yeah. Oh my God, it felt so good.
Liberating.
It felt very good. Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
And Tim's going to be here for a couple more nights, but he won't be on the show, doing all the other stuff. Thank you guys for being here as well.
Yeah.
Cook Daddy Inc. What is that?
Somebody said something he was responding to.
Okay. So thank our sponsors.
Chris Dental.
Chris Dental Family Dentistry.
Montana Oral Surgery.
Montana Oral Surgeons and Implant Center. Albert Taylor.
Yep.
And we couldn't do this without him. So share this on your page. We will be back tomorrow night with Betsy Johnson. In fact, let me do something real quick for you. I just want you guys to see this. I'm going to play you a little clip
from teaser.
Betsy. It's just a really short little teaser, but here's Betsy.
Republicans would go back to their core values of fiscal responsibility, accountability in government spending, smaller government, get out of my bedroom, and focus on the things that made the Republican Party attractive to a lot of business people. And the D's are just so far out there in la-la land. Yeah. I mean, passing out tinfoil and crack pipes here. And there was a time when newspapers had a code of ethics.
Right.
When stories had to be double-checked. When you had to have reliable sources. Now you just make shit up.
Right.
All calm down is not exactly how I would characterize my state of mind. And if you're talking about radical dental ads, that thing that looks like a drill made my molars hurt. So Dr. Bratland is the best. He is a great American.
And if you think that's on the edge, you wait. There's some F-bombs in that one from her and me. So you're going to see a whole different, you'll see the regular side of Betsy Johnson. That's the regular side of me. That's tomorrow night, right here. We'll see you then. All right.
Good night, everybody.
See you guys later. Have a good evening.
Good night, Instagram.